Really good, Connor. How are you, man? You sound a little congested.
I'm good. It's been a morning. I went to go leave to come to work today, and my car decided not to start. So I think it's a battery or something. I have to jump it after the show's over, head down to the AutoZone or something like that, and see what's up. But yeah, I'm good. A little congested, allergies, I guess. But other than that, I'm great.
Love it. Cardinals last night, another big win. Apparently had that tarps off college night or whatever it's called, and it was a big to-do.
I was about to go there. The tarps off movement has made its way to Busch Stadium, and it worked. They won in 11.
They did. I mean, Pozo hit it to right center field, and right when he did that, it was funny because everybody said, go to first base. The force out is still in play. Go to first base. I'm like, what is this, Little League baseball? Can we not get to first base? It's crazy.
Yeah. The 2026 St. Louis Cardinals are quickly becoming America's team. They're just fun to watch. Like they're so hungry, youngry, I think is the word you've thrown out there before.
Oh, yeah.
They just want to win, and who am I to put it against them? They've won, maybe not won, but they haven't lost a series since before that Pirates series where they swept them. So they can't be stopped right now.
They're on a trajectory that I never thought I would say, and that's, not even playing for a wild card spot, but playing for a definitive playoff spot, which is great. I mean, they're actually playing for the NL Central. I mean, right now the Chicago Cubs lead that division, but Cardinals are right behind them, and I love to see quality competition in the NL Central for once. And again, we've mentioned it before on the show, but it's good to see the NL Central being the face of baseball right now.
Yeah, it's the best division in baseball. I've said this before, you've said this before. Even the teams that are struggling right now, cough, cough, the Cincinnati Reds. Hopefully my producer has his ears plugged when I just said that.
I didn't.
Well, sorry. Well, even the Reds, I think, are a capable team. Like if you compare the NL Central and the AL Central right now, I think the differences are pretty stark. So the NL Central right now is the best division in baseball, and I don't think there's any disputing that right now.
No, not at all. I mean, you're looking at the AL Central and it's abysmal. Like, I mean, to be fair, it's the Cleveland Guardians just 2 games over .500, and the rest of them are just below .500. I mean, you have the Chicago White Sox who are somehow miraculously in second place in the Central, but just 22-22. There's not much real true competition going on in that division.
Yeah, I mean the Detroit Lions right now. I know half their team is injured, including Tarek Skubal, but they look abysmal right now. I think they're 1-9 in their last.
Well,
yes,
he got caught by the robot.
The robot got to him a little bit. The internet. That's all
Yes.
we can say about that. I think he also meant the Detroit Tigers,
I think so.
which fair enough. Lions, Tigers, close enough.
Yeah, and again, mentioning the Lions, not trying to change subjects here, but the NFL schedule release is out for all teams, and the Lions end up playing the Tennessee Titans later on in the season. I believe that is week 14. So. Week 11, they take on the Patriots in Germany, I believe, Munich, Germany. So that'll be a fun one to watch. But overall, Tennessee Titans schedule release is out. Talking a little baseball here. Plenty of stuff to get into. Christian Skelton, how are you this morning?
I am great. It's crazy. Me and Connor both graduated this time a week ago.
Yes,
So
congratulations.
life is a little bit different now for both of us. I think he's back, by the way.
Okay.
Maybe. I could see him. Never mind. False alarm. We'll figure that out. Technology is a beautiful thing, but a pain at the same time sometimes.
Absolutely.
So we'll get it going here.
Overall, how do you feel after graduation? Pretty solid.
Yeah, pretty solid. It's like I said, it's a surreal feeling. I think more than anything, because you're just like, well, what do I do with my life now? Like, I mean, I kind of feel like that, but at the same time, it's like I don't have to completely have my life figured out a week after I graduate, I guess. But I'm not in any rush to completely turn my life upside down either. I'm just kind of like, well, I'll just kind of relax, let everything work out the way it's supposed to, and just let God take care of everything,
There you go. Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, advice from me to you and Connor is just having structure, man. Like when you wake up in the morning, just get a routine, a morning routine. If that's, reading the paper, drinking coffee, and going to exercise for 45 minutes. Go do that, and then go about your day and go to work and all that fun stuff. Again, sounds like a 1950s.
What are we talking about?
Just, you know, life after college. I was asking how college is.
Oh, yeah. Well, sorry, I got zapped by the robot there, I think.
That's all right.
But, yeah, that's, I'm kind of going through the same thing. I'm starting, I think I can say this, I'm starting a new position here at the station. So 3 to 6 is my domain from now on. But some other things are going to come out as well. But, yeah, it's about finding structure. in the mornings is I got to get a gym membership now because, you know, we don't get a free gym from the Middle Tennessee State University anymore. So I got to figure that out. But
no, nothing ever hurts the neighborhood
structure's
streets,
been hard
man.
To find. I second that.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, nothing hurts the neighborhood streets. Getting a good 3.5 miles in, 4 miles in,
yeah,
and you're good to go.
That's true.
Morning walks never get old.
Yeah,
that's for
sure.
Yeah,
that's true. Especially when the sun's coming up. I mean, it is nice to wake up to 8 different text messages from one Derek Mason this morning. So I don't know what he wants.
Hey, you'll get used to that. The group text of all those shows, they go back and forth.
Yeah, they're sending me highlights of Dr. J today.
Probably trying to, you know, educate. I mean, you already know majority of Dr. J. It's your sport is basketball, but they like to educate producers every once in a while.
Yeah. I guess so. But speaking of trying to educate us, a lot of the NFL put out videos of their schedule release. And, you know, we talked a lot about this yesterday, but I would just like to reiterate how pointless of a holiday I think the NFL schedule release day is, because we already know who everyone's going to play. It's just a matter of what order they're going to play in. It is such a useless and overblown, quote unquote, holiday. And I know you second this opinion, Nick Frazier, just because I think it's so stupid.
Yeah, it's a pointless day in the NFL. Again, I find it hilarious how, you know, ESPN and NFL Network and all these, you know, football channels are able to milk out 3 to 4 hours of who has the best, you know, schedule release video, who has the best schedule, strength of schedule. I get all that. That's fine. I don't know if it's worth 3 hours. But overall, looking at how, you know, schedules are structured out, that's great. I was telling this to, I believe, Joe yesterday and even Chase earlier on in the week. I'm just like, get me a pen and paper and write down the schedule and continue with the offseason. I am all worried about players getting true development, understanding the playbook, and getting them quality reps in practice. That's all I'm really worried about right now.
Yeah, I want actual football, and I realize we got a long way to go before they actually hit the field in meaningful practices. I mean, it's May, and they hit the practice field for training camp at the end of July. So we got a long way to go, and we're rapidly approaching Mount Rushmore season, as Jake Lyman calls it. We're approaching the time where we have to scour the interwebs for content, but I think this is just a prime example of that. It's so overblown and so, I don't want to say silly or dumb, but it's silly that we hype up this day as, oh, we finally get to know the NFL schedule. And it's like, we already know who they're playing. You know you're going to play your division opponents twice. So that's 6 games right there. You already know which division is going to circulate over from the NFC that you're going to play. So in the Titans' case, it's the NFC East this year. And then you already know, you know, you're playing a last place schedule. So you already semi-know what AFC teams you're going to play there as well. So I don't understand the narrative that's been put out there that, wow, this is just the best day in the NFL calendar, when it's, the only thing you learn is what time you're playing and what order you're playing in. You know all the rest.
Yeah, and I know we'll get to this later on in the show, Connor, but the way the Titans schedule is playing out, and I mentioned this yesterday with Joe, I'm all in. I love this schedule. I'm a big noon kickoff guy. I mean, especially on Saturdays, but especially on Sundays now. I'm all in for that. I also like how, you know, the Titans don't have a primetime game, and some people may differ to that, but I like that as well. I think this is a, you know, show America what the Tennessee Titans are about. You don't have to prove, you know, anything on primetime. Prove it on your schedule without being in primetime. That's what I love the most about this entire schedule release.
Yeah, I mean, Mike North, our good friend over across making the NFL schedule, I don't think he makes it, but I think he helps out, says you can't draft your way into primetime. He said that last year, and it appears the narrative is held true as the Raiders had the number one pick, drafted Fernando Mendoza, still don't have a primetime game. So I understand why they don't have any primetime games. However, it is kind of disappointing. I would have liked to see them play, you know, prime time on maybe Monday Night Football against the Dallas Cowboys, or maybe a Thursday night game against, you know, like the Washington Commanders or someone like that. But I understand it. The NFL clearly doesn't think that the Titans are ready to compete at that next level, to compete with those teams that are just honestly better than them. So you're right. I think this is where you have to go out there, prove everyone wrong. And I think, if you look at the schedule, they have the opportunity to do that. The games in terms of difficulty are kind of staggered, but I think that Jets game is winnable. I think the Giants are winnable. I think you can win some games in the division, the Raiders, the Browns. I think there's a good possibility that there is an improved record for the Titans this season. And Jake and I kind of picked it yesterday, but I have them going 7-10 right now.
I'm still sticking with my guns. The floor is 6-11, and the ceiling is 9-8. So I'm going to lean more on the 9-8 spectrum of it all. Yeah. I really do think this team can make a wild card spot and get into the playoffs, especially with it being the last season of old Nissan Stadium, I guess is the best way to phrase it now. This is a team that on paper looks like they can put it together and at least acquire one playoff win, at least. I'm very optimistic about this roster on paper. I probably shouldn't be as optimistic as this.
Really?
Yeah, I do like what this is all playing out to be. Not being in any primetime game, you're able to kind of recoup week by week. You don't have to really have any short weeks to go off of if you play on Monday night, all that fun stuff. So, yeah, I'm really high on the schedule.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. Our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. What do you make of the Tennessee Titans 2026 schedule? We'll discuss some of that coming up next. Frazier, you said something interesting. I'm curious to hear your optimism on this and that you think this is a playoff team. So we'll discuss that coming up next. But we got a fun show for you playing today. I'll take over the program at Nudes Notes at 9:45. At 10 a.m., I'm going to put this out there because I was listening to you yesterday, Frazier. And you had maybe an all-time take. And one I don't necessarily agree with, but boy, did it get some traction. So I want to put it to rest once and for all. Who would you rather have as your quarterback for the future? Cam Ward or Jalen Hurts? We'll discuss that at 10 a.m. And then, of course, we'll talk a little bit of NFL. We'll talk a little bit of college football and wrap things up with Where Are They Now. But coming up next, we'll talk the Tennessee Titans schedule. Which game from a storyline perspective intrigues you the most? I think if you look at the schedule, there's some underlying storylines in the head-to-head matchups with the Tennessee Titans. We'll discuss some of those coming up next right here on the Weekend Huddle. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on 102.5 The Game. One of the best Michael Jackson songs of all time, from Off the Wall, which is one of the most underrated albums of all time. Today, Vanderbilt baseball takes on South Carolina at Hawkins Field, first pitch at 1 p.m. Catch all the action on 102.5 The Game, coverage presented by GaryForestAcura.com. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on the Weekend Huddle. Nick Frazier, have you seen the Michael Jackson movie yet?
I have not. I have just haven't had the time to do so. When I have an open schedule, I will go over there to whatever movie theater I choose. But I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Could not recommend it more.
It's fantastic. Don't listen to the critics. It's they're mad that they didn't get into some of the darker things of Michael's life. But it's from a music standpoint, from a choreography standpoint, from an acting standpoint, it's terrific. So you'll enjoy it.
Okay, good to know.
Speaking of things we enjoy, the NFL schedule is out, and you know, Frazier and I don't enjoy the random generated pageantry that surrounds it, but we enjoy the fact that we have a schedule, and we enjoy the fact that we can look at the matchups way too early, but we can still look at them. So I ask you this, and you mentioned something last segment, Frazier, and that you think this Titans team, based on the schedule, could potentially be a playoff contender. Why is that to you?
It just overall, again, there's an if to this, but it's off kind of the projection. If this Tennessee Titans defense can rally around Robert Saleh and continue to grow and develop, I'd say within the first 5 weeks of the season, look, if they can go 2-2 in the first 4 weeks and then the fifth week they can find something that clicks, I'm all in for that, which leads me to think that's all this team really is right now, is just a win 1 week, a loss another week, but they can kind of string together some momentum on the road in some cases when you go up against teams like the Raiders 2 days after Christmas, the Dallas Cowboys in week 11, even Jacksonville in this case. I think you get Jacksonville at the right time after they're coming back from London. You know, every team struggles after coming back from London or playing in London. It's just that time difference, you get that jet lag feeling. So I think you're getting Jacksonville at the right time. As for Indianapolis, to me, this might be the year where the Titans sweep Indianapolis in the division, just in head-to-head matchups, that is, because looking at what they're bringing back, yes, Daniel Jones coming off an Achilles injury, and again, I'm not trying to compare him to Aaron Rodgers, but just off of his injury history along with Aaron Rodgers' injury history that lines up with that Achilles, we all saw Rodgers have to adjust the year after his injury, and that is just trying to figure out if he can run out of the pocket again, if he can throw down the field again, and I think there's an adjustment period to that, and some may say, yeah, that's what the offseason is for, but you don't get real reps until you get into the season if you're coming off an injury like that. So, and that kind of goes the same case for former Titans center Lloyd Cushenberry. Again, there was, you know, some ups and downs with him. He was coming off that same type of injury, and it just makes you wonder if there was a little bit extra to that. So I don't know. That's kind of where I feel on that. If they can at least – look, if they sweep the Colts this year in the division, that'd be fantastic for their case of a playoff berth in this conversation. Jacksonville, I definitely think they could split that week 10 and week 12. Again, maybe they end up sweeping Jacksonville instead of Indianapolis because, you know, Jacksonville is having, you know, at the time, the London games. You wonder if that is something they can look at.
We might have lost Connor now.
That's okay.
I think he's back.
Okay.
Oh, hold on. I see his face is here. He's not talking. But yes, I do agree. I think. Where he's kind of here.
It sounds like RoboCop.
It does. It really does sound like RoboCop. It's so funny.
The Terminators keep coming after me.
That is a drop somewhere down the line. The Terminators.
I am going to have
me.
To clip that, and I'm going to go clip that right now. Is he here? Okay, I think he's here.
All right. Yes,
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes. Go ahead, Connor.
A lot of delay, but I can hear you. So, well, what I was saying is I have the Titans sweeping the Jags. I think the Jags.
Okay, well, he has them sweeping the Jags.
He has the Jags doing something.
So maybe he has what I'm thinking is if the Titans sweep the Jags, that'd be great. And then I don't have Indianapolis in this case getting swept. So he's taking the Jags getting swept over Indianapolis in that case, which is understandable. I mean, looking at the rest of the schedule, I mean, other games that I'm optimistic about the Titans being favored in, I mean, the game I'm most intrigued to watch would be that Cleveland game, October 25th, and that's here. We all saw that game last year. It came down literally to the final whistle. That was, the 31-29 game where it was just back-and-forth scoring. Tony Pollard had two rushing touchdowns that game. That was impressive. You know, I'm intrigued to see how New York plays. I was mentioning this to Joe yesterday and how the Giants – did I say the Jets? I meant the Giants, excuse me. The New York Giants and how the John Harbaugh method works. You know, I feel like the message got stale in Baltimore and he can kind of get away with that in New York. And it just makes you wonder if the fullback position and even Isaiah Likely in this case at tight end, if he gets more reps in the offense, because he was that second fiddle behind Mark Andrews, and Mark Andrews seemed to be that solidified safety net for a guy like Lamar Jackson the last couple seasons. And yes, understandably so, the wide receiver room for Baltimore is, I'd say, in some aspects thin. They just kind of have one guy to really worry about, and that's Zay Flowers. You also have Derrick Henry. Let's not forget about him. But back to the Giants in this case, I'm intrigued because now you have the Malik Nabers saga going on with the knee scoping and just getting that stuff looked at. You also have just Jackson Dart, if he can kind of come back ready, locked, and loaded with Cam Scataboo in the backfield. And I don't know, maybe the fullback running back combo with this Harbaugh offense is something that might surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And, you know, the Giants are an interesting team to me because I think they have the potential to go worst to first. Jackson Dart is an intriguing quarterback to me. And you mentioned John Harbaugh. I'm curious to see what he can do, especially on the offensive side of the ball, because that's a young offense. You have Dart, you have Nabers. You lose Wandale Robinson, but you bring in a tight end, like you said, in Isaiah Likely, who can kind of fill that role. And then, of course, Cam Scataboo coming off of injury. The defense is interesting to me, too, because Kayvon Thibodeau, I don't think, wants to be there. You lose Dexter Fowler. You lose Cordell Flott. There's a lot of interesting pieces and moving parts on that offense, or on that whole team, I should say. So I think that's an interesting game. And, of course, there's the storylines that go with it. You've got their former coach is the offensive coordinator of the Titans and Brian Daboll. You've got those pieces that have come over from New York to Tennessee, like Cordell Flott. I always say Cody Bellinger, Daniel Bellinger, and guys like Wandale Robinson, of course. But on the other side, you've got a couple former coaches working for the New York side. You've got Brian Callahan, who's the quarterback's coach there, and Denard Wilson is the defensive coordinator for the New York Giants. So there's some personal stuff going on there. That's an interesting one to me. The other interesting one, everyone's going to talk about the Jets. Everyone's going to talk about the Ravens.
Continue, Connor, if you're there.
I'm sorry. I thought you were about to go, and the delay here is terrible. I don't know what it is. It's not my internet.
You're good. Continue.
But anyways, I think there's a lot. The game that I think is most interesting to me is that Dallas game, because I don't know what kind of Dallas team we're going to get, and that seems to be the story before every season. Is Dallas going to be a Super Bowl contender, or are they going to be middle of the road and or miss the playoffs? If they go into Dallas on that Sunday and they beat them, even if they don't even blow the brakes off of them, if they beat them in any capacity, the national media is going to be talking about them on that Monday because they just knocked off America's team. The NFL Network is going to be talking about it. I can see it now. The Titans beat the Cowboys, and the first thing you hear on First Take is Stephen A. laughing because the Titans just beat the Cowboys. That is the way to put the national spotlight on a team like that, especially if they're coming in and riding high with some momentum and, you know, their record looks good. That is how you take the national spotlight by the horns. And, you know, that puts you into flex territory. If a team that is already scheduled for a primetime game isn't as good, and then they look at the Titans and the kind of the story they're having this season, that puts you into flex territory. But I don't care about flex territory. I care about the national narrative. And if you go in and you knock off the Cowboys, no matter how good or how bad they are, regardless, that's America's sweetheart. That is the most prestigious franchise in the entire National Football League, and I will die on that hill. If you go in and you knock that team off, then guess what? Media is going to be talking about you the next day.
100%. And that's why I think with the Titans not having any primetime games, this is another reason why they should prove to national media why they deserved one.
Yeah, they control their own fate in terms of that. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you have any thoughts or concerns, you can text us or call us. We'll get right to you. Coming up next, how competitive can the Titans be within the division? We kind of hinted on it, but like I mentioned, six games. And as Big Joe Dubin says, all you got to do is be better than three other teams and you're in the playoffs. We'll discuss that coming up next as we continue along here on the Weekend Huddle on 102.5 The Game.
Red Solo Cup, I fill you up. Let's have a party. Let's have a party. I love you, Red Solo Cup. I lift you up. Proceed to party. Proceed to party.
Welcome back in Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newton, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you on this Saturday. We're talking Tennessee Titans offseason, and of course, our offseason coverage is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, the official craft beer of the football offseason coverage on ESPN 102.5. So, Nick Frazier, we've kind of talked about interesting games outside of the division, but I think the season begins and ends for the Titans in terms of what they can become this season inside the division. To quote Big Joe Dubin, all you got to do is be better than three other teams, and then you are smooth sailing into the playoffs, and you've got a top four seed. I wouldn't expect the Tennessee Titans to do that this season. You have other thoughts. As you said, they are a playoff contender. But I think that this is a very manageable division. I think the Colts are going to take a step back. I think that the Jags are going to take a step back. The only team that I truly feel in this division is a true playoff contender is the Houston Texans. But as we know, things can get a little bit crazy anytime the Titans and the Texans meet up. So what do you make of the divisional matchups this season for the Titans?
I think they're favorable. And just to clarify, I think they're a wild card team. If you consider that a playoff contender, then sure. But I think they're a wild card playoff team in this case. Looking at the division, though, I would say, like I said before, you sweep Indianapolis. Again, I'm not sure what Indianapolis is really grabbing onto, because you move off of Michael Pittman in a trade with Pittsburgh. You have Alec Pierce as basically your perennial wide receiver in this case. You still have a few players here and there. You still have Jonathan Taylor, an aging offensive line. Again, you don't know what you really have in Daniel Jones. In my case, I mean, you just have to worry about that injury. You're recovering from it. You're trying to get back to your old self. When it comes to the Houston Texans, that's another question mark. We don't know if C.J. Stroud is going to have another slump of a year. And I mean, if he does end up struggling a little bit, that defense is still really, really strong around Will Anderson. They continue to go after the quarterback. That's something that Houston has just been really good the last couple of seasons under DeMeco Ryans, is just having a strong defense. So, again, it'll be a tough test for the Tennessee Titans in that case. I think they split when it comes to the Houston Texans. And same thing for the Jacksonville Jaguars. I think they split those as well. I think they won the first matchup because the Jacksonville's coming off of a bye, I think, in week seven. And the Titans have a bye in week nine. So both teams, for the most part, would be, I'd say, healthy to where they'd be have a loaded back-and-forth matchup. But then I think, you know, the Titans end up falling on November 29th to the Jags in that case. So if they can just split against two teams, go 1-1, and then sweep one of those three, they're in a really good shape for a potential wild card spot.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Again, I wouldn't pick them to be a playoff contender, but I think this is a very manageable division. This is one of the, I don't want to say worst in football, but it's one of the lower end divisions. It's not as competitive as, say, the NFC West. So I think this is manageable. Like I said, I think they can go in and sweep Jacksonville. I think they can split with Indianapolis, and then the Texans are the team that kind of worry me in the division, so we'll see. But I think this is a manageable division. I think if you are capable of coming out split, coming 500 out of the division 3-3, I would feel good about that, because, you know, I'm not so concerned about making the playoffs this season as I am just showing some forward progress and some momentum heading into next season. Because next season is when we start to say, okay, where are the Titans truly? You've got a new stadium. You've got new uniforms. You've got a new, wider fan base to appeal to. So I think next season is when we start to say, where are the Tennessee Titans in terms of competitiveness and, you know, their chase for a Super Bowl?
I believe he meant, or he was going to say, chance for a Super Bowl. That was the end of the, oh, there he is. Maybe not.
It's a work in progress, you know.
Like well, he said, the Terminator's got him.
The Terminator's got him, and we're doing what we can, you know.
I'm intrigued to hear his thoughts on this because I was going to ask him what is his true definition of a playoff contender. Because what do you think for Christian in this case? Would you consider a wild card team a playoff contender? Because to me, a playoff contender is somebody competing to win the Super Bowl. I don't think the Titans are a Super Bowl caliber team yet. I think they're competing for a wild card playoff berth.
See, I would define a playoff contender as a team contending to make the playoffs, not necessarily do it. I would consider those teams you're thinking about
Super Bowl contenders. Yeah. Okay.
But I guess it just depends on how you want to define it. You can define that any way you want.
Yeah.
But I mean, I would say playoff contender. That's how I would define that, as somebody who's trying to make the playoffs, and then once you get there, who knows what can happen.
Yeah, because there is a difference. Excuse me. There's a difference between Super Bowl contender and playoff contender. I just want to make it known. I'm not looking at them as a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah, I don't think anybody is. Yeah. I mean, you never know, I guess. But
no, Connor makes a good point. Going 3-3 in the AFC South for the Tennessee Titans is a really good look. It's a sign of improvement. It's a sign that, you know, the teaching methods of Robert Saleh and the teaching methods of Brian Daboll are changing the culture around the not Two-Tone Blue anymore, but just the Tennessee Titans in general. I mean, overall,
the Houston Oilers.
There he is, back.
I know this is frustrating. Like, I'm about to punch a hole through my wall because I feel like I'm giving good stuff and then it's getting cut off. So I don't know. It's frustrating.
Well, the back end of that comment you were mentioning was Super Bowl, I think, contending or Super Bowl champions or something like that.
Playoff contender.
There you go.
Yeah, I mean, I heard you ask, what do you define as a playoff contender? To me, that's any team that's contending to be in the playoffs.
And right.
I wouldn't, you know, when you look at the graphics they put up on the NFL broadcast where it says, you know, division leaders, wild card, and then in the hunt. I think if the Titans can float around that in the hunt area, then, you know, you're seeing some forward progress and some momentum for them. What I mean by playoff contender is guys that are basically solidified to make the playoffs. Like, year in and year out, I think we can say the Buffalo Bills are playoff contenders. In fact, Super Bowl contenders. But the Dallas Cowboys are playoff contenders. They're guys that are expected to make the playoffs. The Titans are not that right now. And right. You know, they have the opportunity to come in and prove everyone wrong and, you know, change the narrative on them. But as of right now, I wouldn't consider the Titans playoff contenders. So what I mean by that is if you can split the division and go 3-3 and then win 4-5 other games, I think, you know, you're smooth sailing into next season. You may not make the playoffs, but if you go 8-9 or 9-8, I think a lot of Titans fans would sign up for that.
Oh, 100%. And thanks for clarifying that, Connor, because, yeah, that's kind of where I see the Tennessee Titans as a in-the-hunt wild-card team. I guess I shouldn't say playoff contenders per se. More of an in-the-hunt wild-card team trying to strive for some sort and like that. So that's where I'm at with that. Signs of improvement. That's all you really want to see. Again, the ceiling for me is 9-8. The floor is 6-11. So if you can just win double the amount of games from last season – I think you're in good shape. I would say you're on track. You're not really ahead of schedule. If you win 7 games, I don't know if it'd be safe to say, but I definitely would say that you're a little ahead of schedule, right?
Yeah, I think you should be ahead of schedule. Look, if you double your win total, you are definitely ahead of schedule because you've won 3 games the last 2 years. So, yeah, double your win total, and I think a lot of fans will feel a lot better about you. 615-737-1025 is the phone number if you want to get involved in the conversation. Our weekend poll is out. I kind of want to debate Nick Frazier on this because I heard him yesterday, and boy, he got kind of torched, and I feel a little bit bad for him. But I want to hear his thoughts here. Who is a better quarterback to build your team around, Cam Ward or Jalen Hurts? We'll get to that at the top of the hour. But coming up next, it's Newt's Notes. I'll take over the show and hopefully the Terminators won't get me again. Hopefully I can get through it smooth sailing. We'll do that coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game. Oh, yeah. Welcome back in. Weekend Huddle here on 102.5 The Game. Connor Newt, Nick Frazier, Christian Skelton here with you. Today, the Nashville Sounds face the Iowa Cubs, AAA affiliate of the Chicago Cubs at First Horizon Park. First pitch is at 6:35 p.m. Catch all the action on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Family Leisure and Social Cantina. Gentlemen, we have a direct violation of the Newt Sports Handbook of Fandom, and I would like to update you and rant about it. So, there was an instance last night at the Washington Nationals game. Of course, it's baseball season, so everyone's going to the ballpark. Someone showed up in a Victor Wembanyama number one Washington Commanders jersey. What in the hell are we doing?
That's a great question. I saw that too. I was like, you got to be kidding me. Refresh my brain a little bit here, Connor. Was he a potential lottery pick when the Wizards were picking? Obviously, the Spurs got him as that number one overall pick, but were they in contention for that lottery pick or something?
They were, but here's the thing. It's not a Wizards jersey. It's a Commanders jersey.
Right.
As in the football team. So what are we doing?
Maybe he's a Washington just fan in general and thought, you know, the Commanders had the best jersey out of all three of the sports teams or four of the sports teams and said, hey, we're just going to hope and pray that Victor Wembanyama gets drafted by the Washington Wizards and I can wear this everywhere. And it's like a, you know, an umbrella jersey where he could wear it to every event. Again, I'm not a big fan of all that stuff, wearing a jersey to another event that doesn't go with that sport. But, nope. Yeah, you go ahead, Connor, because I'm as flabbergasted as you are.
It's a direct violation on many levels. Number one, you don't wear a football jersey to a baseball game. You don't do that at all. If you're not going to wear a jersey, then wear something nice. Wear a t-shirt or wear a polo or wear something. But you don't wear a football jersey to a baseball game. I've always been a defender of that. You never wear a different sport jersey to a wrong sport. Like, I wouldn't wear a hockey jersey to a football game. That doesn't make sense. It gets a little bit convoluted with college sports because some people will wear, you know, I'll use the Vols for instance. Like, I remember Christian and I one time were in Knoxville watching, what was it, SmackDown? And there was a game going on at Lindsey Nelson right down the street. And the amount of Peyton Manning Vols football jerseys we saw marching towards there was just asinine to me. But that I can excuse a little bit. If you're going to an MLB game, wear an MLB jersey, especially of the team that you're watching.
Ah, the Terminator's back again.
So close.
We almost got through a whole segment without an appearance.
Almost there.
I do agree with what he was saying, though. And here's another thing to what he was saying. You people realize you could just wear normal clothes if you don't have a baseball thing to wear. Just wear normal clothes. That's all you have to do.
My only, I'd say, exception to this rule, and maybe Connor agrees with me on this, a former Nashville Sound, Monte Harrison, who was, you know, playing for the Sounds, was a baseball player. Oh, is he there? Oh, it's still zapped.
Still
okay.
Zapped,
yeah. Monte Harrison ended up going back to play college football for Arkansas. So I wonder if you're a Arkansas Razorback fan, do you go to baseball games wearing a Monte Harrison Major League or Minor League Baseball jersey, even though he doesn't play baseball for Arkansas, but is a football player for him. I don't know. Would that be somewhat of an exception to the rule? Because he is, let's say that student is enrolled and, you know, Monte Harrison's still on Arkansas's football team, but you're still just going to support. How does that really fall under the umbrella? Because I feel like it'd be an exception to the rule.
Could be. I think he's back.
Is he?
I'm back. I'm about to rage quit, but I'm back.
Did you hear my little like question there, Connor, of like Monte Harrison?
Are you asking should he be allowed to represent?
Well, no. Should students that go to school at Arkansas be allowed to represent like a minor league or a major league baseball jersey of Monte Harrison at any sporting event at Arkansas, even though he is football player currently?
I mean, I'm okay with representing players that went there. Like, you go to Knoxville, you're going to see a lot of Lakers Dalton Connect jersey, I'm willing to bet you. You go to Knoxville, you're going to see a lot of Vols football players that are on NFL teams. I think that's excusable. What's not excusable is wearing a football jersey to a baseball game, which, of course, you can wear normal clothes if you don't have baseball stuff, added to the factor that you have a player that has never once played football in his entire life for your franchise and plays on another professional sports team on that jersey. That's wrong. That just it boils my blood. It gets me fired up.
Oh, I'm 100%. Because again, that player has no, it's not the player, it's the fan, has no well-being of putting Victor Wembanyama's name on the back of a Commanders jersey. I mean, I get it. If you're a Washington fan, you're really hoping for that. But that's a jersey that goes into the closet and never sees the light of day. I think that's something that does not need to be worn anywhere on the streets, because it's just, it's fictional. It is literally a fictional fantasy. Like, I mean, like fantasy basketball. That's essentially what that is. You're just creating a name, creating a team, and that's about it.
I'll do you one better. In the comments, there's a photo of, it looks like a gentleman at a Titans game. He is wearing a Nashville Predators number 23 LeBron jersey. Not LeBron James. It just says LeBron. That's even worse.
Like, that is like just tampering everything. I mean, why? Just why?
That was what I was about. Why? What's the point? Like, just to be funny, I guess? Like, why would you spend your money on that?
That is, you're right. It's a waste of $70.
Yeah, probably more than that.
I was looking at buying the new Titans jersey. It's $150 now. It's like, golly.
Pass. Go and buy the old Oilers jerseys off Fanatics for like $20. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
I think I'll keep my Cam Ward Oilers jersey that you can't even tell is fake. I think I'll just keep that.
Yeah, it works.
His face is frozen. I don't know about his voice.
He got zapped again, man.
He might have.
Unfortunate
indeed. Well, at least this time it wasn't the Terminator. A lot of times today, the Terminator, it's given him a slow and painful death. Today, it just zapped him and he died immediately.
Yeah, like
Connor Newton is not actually dead, everyone. He's alive and well. Don't worry.
It's just the connection.
Yes, yes.
Looking at just different jerseys across the history of sports, for me, and I'm sure for you as well, and Connor, when he's back from the Terminator zappings, it's just having like a Randy Moss jersey, it's a one-off. A DeAndre Hopkins jersey is a one-off. Julio Jones, like just the one-year stands or the two-year stands of even, I mean, to be fair, Randy Moss was here for a cup of coffee. That was about it. But if you just get jerseys like those, they're pretty cool to have because, like, oh, my goodness, Randy Moss actually played for the Titans at one point. And he's like, oh, that's something you could wear every once in a while. It's like a where are they now moment. You know what I mean? So I think that's what, you know, obviously that's why we have that segment at the end of the show, but that's something that you can kind of rally around. Whereas a Victor Wembanyama jersey on a Washington Commanders, like, what's going on here? It's just, I'm with Connor on this. It's against the new rule book of fandom. There's no need for it, and there's just no room for it, period. No. Oh.
It's all attention getting. I guess you're trying to be funny, but at the same time, like, what are you trying to prove? Are you trying to be funny? Or are you trying to be, you know, informative? What is this?
Yeah, it's a bad look for just sports fans in general, because, like, if I go and get a St. Louis Cardinals jersey and it has, I don't know, Pablo Sandoval on the back of it, there's no need for that. That right there would probably grind the gears of a lot of baseball fans. Now, let's say if I got a St. Louis Cardinals jersey with Paul Skeens on the back of it, that's a different story. I mean, same story, but, like, you could see how Paul Skeens would be a valued, you know, trade piece for some teams. So maybe that's, like, maybe stirring the pot on trade rumors. So there's a little difference to all that. But Wembanyama on a Commanders jersey, get out of here.
Wrong move, wrong time, and you, sir, are in direct violation of the new Sports Handbook of Fandom. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Coming up next, it's time for the weekend poll. Who is a better quarterback to build your future around, Cam Ward or Jalen Hurts? We'll discuss that coming up next. Also, let me tell you to subscribe to our YouTube channel at 1025 The Game for live shows and exclusive content. We'll discuss the weekend poll coming up next right here on 1025.